Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Stephen Sports Blog, here only on MSL Radio.
What's up, Miami? Casey Wallach here. Stephen has some other obligations today. But lucky for me and all of you, we have the great Andrew Powell from the Andrew Powell Show on MSL Radio filling in.
Yes. Yes. What is good, Miami? Yes, you get lucky with me, Andrew Powell. Most of you already know who I am, so I'm not going to explain who I am. But let's get right into the show because the NBA Finals, this has been a very, very, very intriguing series. I'm very amazed, and I tweeted it out last night, how Golden State should be absolutely embarrassed because not only are they getting their asses kicked by an inefficient LeBron James, but they're getting their asses kicked by the Cleveland Knicks. And if you have no idea what I mean with that, back in, I believe it was December, they got J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert from the New York Knicks, and that is their two best players after LeBron James. So pretty much he's leading the New York Knicks to the finals and potentially is going to win the finals. Now, Dellavedova is completely shutting down Steph Curry on the defensive side of the ball. It's just – Golden State's just – I've never seen anything like it with Golden State. I mean, the fact that they're a Western Conference team, they won 67 games last year in the Western Conference. And for some reason, Cleveland is just completely shutting them down. And what is amazing about that is what we talked about last night on the show. I might have discussed it yesterday on Stephen Sports Blog. But it's just amazing how they went from being 21st in the NBA in defense. And now, statistically here in the playoffs, they're ranked number one. It's pretty amazing what the Cleveland Cavaliers have done. Now, one thing that I brought up last night when I was talking to Steven, and Casey, I want to ask you, Golden State, we all know that they're a dominant team, but it just seems like that they're not mentally there. Are they intimidated by the LeBron James factor, or what is going on with Golden State?
I don't know because, I mean, I think LeBron definitely plays a big part in it because he just – so dominant, he's just going to, you know, take the shots, you know, like you said, you don't, you know, let me get 40, I go get 40, and I think it's just like they're totally out of rhythm, and I don't know if Dellavedova is aggravating Steph so much, and he's just really getting in and really upsetting their, you know, rhythm, and their ball handling is just like, you know, their passing is not, you know, what it is. I mean, you saw Steph just, you know, do the behind-the-back pass last night and Draymond Green was like,
yeah.
What? So I think, I mean, the defense, obviously, of the Cavs is really pushing the limits of, like, Golden State. I mean, Golden State's just used to, you know, running all over everybody. But, I mean, if you remember, you know, Memphis, you know, a real strong defensive team did, you know, put some pressure on Golden State in that series. So, I mean, that defense is just really, really attacking at him and throwing him off. But they did, you know, make that huge comeback again, like the third game in a row in the fourth quarter. They were down 17 and narrowed it to one. And then they, lost it there at the end. But still, I mean, it's like they can turn on this switch at the end there. But, you know, I just wish they would turn it on a little earlier.
Yeah, it's just one thing that I'm very impressed by when it comes from Cleveland's standpoint is this guy, Dellavedova. I mean, some of the stuff that he was pulling last night, like all three of these games, he's been locked in on the defensive side of the ball and absolutely shutting down the MVP of the league, which is absolutely amazing. And then there was one play where he was driving up the paint. It looked like he was about to trip over somebody, completely stumbling. When he was falling down, he just threw the ball up, still ended up making the shot. Now, if Cleveland wins the finals, that man is going to be a god in Cleveland. an absolute god in Cleveland. God. But it's just amazing to me. And there was a tweet that I saw last night, and I retweeted it. Dellavedova is that create a player and 2K my player, where nobody knows about him, but you use him to cheat. And he's like the best player on the damn court. So it's it's that. But even with everything that's going on, like, I'm having a hard time understanding how, and I understand that Golden State hasn't exactly been efficient, but LeBron and Cleveland, they haven't been dominant. I mean, it was one point in the game that LeBron only made 10 out of his last 40 shots, meaning that he was shooting 25% at one point. And I'm not understanding how Golden State is getting, because I've been watching the press conferences and paying attention to everything, but it's like, Golden State is just not mentally there. They don't have that champion's attitude, and it just seems like that they are intimidated by LeBron James. But why be intimidated by LeBron James when he's only shooting 25%? They have no Kyrie. They have no Kevin Love. I understand that Dellavedova has been playing his ass off, but come on. Steph Curry versus Dellavedova, there's no reason why Dellavedova should be shutting down Steph Curry. I mean, get real. But now, I said last night that I might have to change my picks. Originally, I picked Golden State in 6. Then I changed it to Golden State in 5. Obviously, I'm going to be wrong on that. Casey, what was your original pick? I know
my
you picked Golden State.
Right. My original was in 6 games. And then after game 1, I was like, well, maybe I could go, might go to 5. Because I just was, once they lost Kyrie, I just thought they were going to crumble. Obviously, they didn't. And so now I kind of want to either first one at 6 or even go to 7, or I don't know what's going on or what's going to happen. It's really, I'm just so shocked at what's happening with Golden State. And I want to stick with them and not, I'm not going to waffle to another team or anything like that. And it's a team I thought was the better team, but now I think it could take up to 7 games now.
Yeah, and I want to get something clear, because a lot of Cleveland fans are getting this mistaken, and there's a few Miami fans that are getting this mistaken as well with how I view sports. See, a lot of people get my hate for Cleveland mixed up, that I hate LeBron James and that I'm petty and all this BS. But in all reality, I like LeBron James. I respect LeBron James as not only a basketball player, as a businessman. I admire him, how he does business, but I also respect LeBron James as a person. Like, everything, I don't know, I just have a lot of admiration for LeBron James. So I don't have anything against LeBron James. I'm grateful for the 4 years that he brought my beloved city. I'm just grateful for everything. But Cleveland, I admit that I do not like Cleveland. I do not like that city. I do not like the people of that city. Why do I not like the city? Well, let me go ahead and explain to you why. I've dealt with Cleveland people for a while. I used to write for a website called theheatbeat.com. They're still up and running, still doing good. If you want to check them out, go ahead. The only reason why I left is because I wanted to start my own company. But when I was writing for them, that's when I really started to meet these Cleveland people. And I just noticed, people from Cleveland are crazy. Like, they're crazy as hell. It's just a bunch of crazy people, and they're racist, and they're just really, really disrespectful. They'll try to bring up personal stuff on you when they don't even know you. I mean, they're just really, really just not good people. And I'm not going to generalize the whole population. I'm sure there are good people in Cleveland, but from everybody that I met, put it this way, everybody that I met has just made me hate that city. Cleveland does not deserve the greatness of LeBron James. Cleveland does not deserve championship glory. Cleveland does not deserve to win championships in any sport, period. Cleveland is a horrible, horrible, depressed, miserable ass, bitch ass city. Just going to keep it real. But, we talked about it a little bit, Casey, yesterday when we was texting each other, and you were telling me how you didn't see Golden State being overwhelmed as far as the crowd noise by Cleveland's fans. Now, after watching the game last night, what is the bigger crowd? Because Cleveland was going crazy last night.
Right.
Who do you think is the most overwhelming crowd?
I think the Oracle is, like, just based on, like, the structure type thing for Golden State, you know, the building, the way, you know, they don't make arenas like that anymore. I think that's what contributes a lot to the crowd noise. Also, their fans are incredible. But the noise at the Q last night was just, I mean, deafening. I mean, there's points when, you know, reporters were tweeting out, you know, like, I can't hear anything. Like, I can't hear the announcing of the, you know, starting lineups, and just I can't hear the whistle blow, nothing. So, I mean, Cleveland's fans really showed up and, you know, let everybody know they were there. So, in their brand new jerseys, since they burned their old ones.
Yes, and obviously this is only a 30-minute show. I would love to talk about the finals for a whole 20 minutes like I do on my show, but we got to move on. Time constraints force us to do that. Next topic I want to talk about is, and just because Casey is a Packers fan, Aaron Rodgers came out yesterday and said that the Green Bay Packers have the talent to get to the Super Bowl. I agree with this man maybe 95%, just because I don't think that Green Bay is all the way talented to get to the Super Bowl, but I feel like that Aaron Rodgers is such a good quarterback that he will get into the Super Bowl. When Casey, when Aaron Rodgers says this about your beloved Packers, your response is?
I believe pretty much everything that man will say anytime. He's a confident guy, but he's not just going to, you know, go make wild, you know, assumptions and everything. And he's healthy now. You know, we almost went to the Super Bowl when, you know, he had one leg. And because of the whole weirdness of what happened in the NFC excuse me, championship.
You pulled a Stu Gatz.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. All right, anyway.
That is hilarious.
All right. So, it was, I mean, the team around him is great. And
Blame.
They're healthy, and I believe that, man. Why don't we go to commercial?
Darren, go to commercial. That's your cue.
So at the end of the day, I mean, you could keep that to yourself. You don't even have to let anybody know, because at the end of the day, you know, if somebody's coming out, you're getting all the attention. I'm not saying that's what Michael Sam's intentions were, but there's always another side to the story. At the end of the day,
Jesus Christ.
The Andrew Powell Show with Darren Williamson and Eric Robinson is 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here only on MSL Radio, Monday through Friday. Check it out. I know I messed up, but whatever. Listen to the show. Ah. Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help wanna sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Want to learn how to scan your swagger? Get insight on that and more from Dia Hicks every weekend, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on MSL Radio.
Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Inside the Sports World with Darren Williamson, Stephen and Andrew Powell is every Saturday between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Only on Double G Radio. Start spreading the
news. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Ur at Stephen_Ur@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSL blog for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
What's good, Miami? And I guess pretty soon I'll have to say what's good, Nation, since we're going national. But this is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show with Darren Williamson and Eric Robinson, the CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? Because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer. And if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle.
You are now listening to Stephen Sports Blog, here only on MSL Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Casey Wallach here. Steven's out today, but we have Andrew Powell here with us in the Andrew Powell Show. So, do you want to continue what we were talking about last time, or you want to go on to the Miami Dolphins?
Well, before we move on, are you okay, Casey?
I'm fine. I got allergies, all right?
Hey, it's all good. It's all good. She's going to be the Stugatz of the day, so it's all good. It's all entertainment. But as far as, before we do move on to the New York Mets suck, I'm sure Darren's going to enjoy that topic. With Aaron Rodgers saying that the Packers have the talent to get to the Super Bowl, did you get all your thoughts out, or did you have something else to say?
No, I think I pretty much got, he is going to be on the Levitard show today, though. Aaron Rodgers.
Said who? Aaron Rodgers? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I might have I'll definitely be checking that out.
Yeah, 4-7 Eastern, ESPN Radio and Fusion.
Awesome. Yes. And you can also check out the local hour at 3 o'clock. Yes.
Right.
But.
Highly recommend the local hour.
Yes, the local hour. I always listen to. Man, I can't lie. A lot of people do listen to the Levitard show, but most of them don't listen to the national audience, to the national show, I should say, from 4-7. But there's something about that local hour, because that local hour, they're a little bit more free. They're a little bit more loose. They're a little bit more Miami. So it's like that local hour, I love that local hour. But on to this next topic and a big shout out to our producer, Darren Williamson, for this topic. I'm going to enjoy talking about this. Last night, San Francisco Giants rookie pitcher Chris Heston threw a no-hitter against Darren's beloved New York Mets. And the Mets actually got shelled 9-0. Now, Casey, do you agree with me when I say that this is just a typical New York Mets move?
Yeah.
Typical.
It was 5-0.
Actually, yeah, you are correct. It was 5-0. Okay, well, never mind. But anyways, the point is they still got their ass beat, and they still got a no-hitter thrown against him, and Darren wants to be a sensitive-ass Mets fan. But it's all good, because we all know how the Mets fans are. But pretty much, I'm just going to end the segment and move on and just say this. The New York Mets suck. Now, should the Miami Dolphins go after Ray Rice? Because there's been some interest among a few teams in the National Football League regarding Ray Rice. Now, obviously, with me being in the Miami market that I am, working for the Miami market like I am, all that good stuff, I'm going to support Ray Rice going to the Dolphins. Now, I've talked about Ray Rice several times on my show. I've talked about him on Twitter. I've wrote columns about him. Look, Ray Rice deserves to be back in the NFL. He had one bad night with his then-fiance, who, by the way, they are married now, and his wife, his then-fiance, forgave him. Forgave him. So I'm having a hard time understanding why a lot of society is going against Ray Rice when his wife and his family forgave him. It's just sad that one bad night has basically ruined his entire career. Now, the charges got dropped. So that's where some of the interest level is coming from, the fact that he has no more charges, and plus it's still Ray Rice. Now, the reason why he could go to any NFL team, and I'm going to be happy for him, just because I want Ray Rice back in the NFL. But the reason why I say that the Miami Dolphins should go after him is, one, we're not going to be able to get Adrian Peterson. That will be the number one option, but the Dolphins are not going to get him. Now, my co-host, Eric Robinson, he thinks that Adrian Peterson wouldn't be a good fit in Miami. Absolutely, just, I don't understand where he gets the information from, but Adrian Peterson will be a perfect fit in Miami. But Ray Rice will be the next best selection. The reason why I want Dolphins to get him is just because the Dolphins running back core is not dependable. You have no Sam Marino, who is the number one option, but he's an injury hazard. You don't know if he's going to get hurt or not. You have Lamar Miller as the backup. Lamar Miller is not a starting running back. He's just that he's not built for that. So that's why I would love for the Dolphins to have an aggressive campaign towards Ray Rice. Now, Casey, I want to ask you this. We've had this discussion in the past. I've had it with Darren and Eric and even Steven, I believe. So I want to have this conversation with you. If Ray Rice signs with the Miami Dolphins or any other NFL team, there's a few people out there who say that the controversy would affect the whole season and potentially ruin the whole season. Do you agree with those people when they say that chemistry could become an issue?
No, I think I saw that as more of an issue with, you know, like somebody like Greg Hardy, who's, you know, already had, you know, a couple incidents or whatever in preseason stuff with the Cowboys now. I totally support Ray Rice. He's the only one of these guys who actually came out and showed remorse for what he did and apologized publicly and, you know, went and had interviews with his wife and everything. So for him to be like basically the last guy still, you know, hanging out there amid, you know, all this domestic violence, you know, the players that were involved in that. It's just, you know, it's unfortunate. And, you know, people say it's, you know, mainly because, you know, there's video proof, et cetera. And, you know, it was, like you said, a bad night, you know, and the forgiveness thing. I think Ray Rice would be a good guy to have in the locker room. You know, he's a veteran, but he's, you know, so obviously so young, and he had a year off. He's, you know, physically in great shape. And I don't think the chemistry thing would be an issue. I mean, I think as long as you kind of, like, address it with your teammates and, you know, let them ask you or say it to you, you know, and just rehash it all out, get it all out of the way, I don't think that the chemistry would be, you know, a problem.
Now, when you bring up Ray Rice is in good physical condition, does that mean that you like his body like you like Mark Sanchez?
No. No, it's a totally different thing.
Oh, well, I do have a question for Darren, though. Darren, how does your team allow themselves to get no hit by a rookie? Explain that to me, Darren.
Happy Harvey Day.
Oh, man, now, NBA Finals Game 3 obviously was last night. At the end of the game, Dwayne Wade interviewed LeBron post-game. Now, I didn't hear the interview, but I did see some a Vine last night where Dwayne Wade was basically telling the SportsCenter staff that if LeBron would have never went to Miami, never played those 4 years in Miami, never played those quote-unquote college years in Miami, he would have never led Cleveland to a championship like he is now. He says that Miami playing alongside Wade and Bosch is the reason why LeBron is successful the way he is, able to lead a team to the finals by himself and potentially win a championship by himself. Casey, in my opinion, Dwayne Wade is absolutely correct. He's absolutely correct when he says that. Now, I didn't get to see the whole interview. Can you fill me in on some of that interview and what happened and what was said and the audience who doesn't know?
Sure. Basically, first of all, I just want to say that Dwayne Wade actually did a really great job, you know, in interviewing LeBron and everything. And, I mean, you can still see, you know, how close they are and, you know, that friendship and respect they have for each other and everything. Basically, Wade started the interview kind of saying, like, you know, this is a different LeBron that I've never seen before, you know, with a different focus, different mindset and everything. And LeBron, you know, said that, you know, I've had to change my, you know, how I play, and, you know, the guys I'm playing with are playing off of straight motivation. And Dwayne said, we all know you're the greatest player in the game. Did you miss getting that chip, meaning the MVP, this award this year? And LeBron James said, you know, basically every day I want to be the MVP. I'd be lying if I would say I wasn't upset about finishing third, but I didn't need that extra motivation. But he always thinks of himself as the MVP. And then, you know, the other guy, you know, at the table, I forgot his name, but he said, you know, so what's sore, LeBron? And Dwayne's like, what? The better question is, what's not sore? And obviously, LeBron said everything is sore. And then Wade brought up, you know, how in three games that LeBron shot 117 shots, you know, and he's shooting like 41, 12, and 8, 40%. You know, it's, you know, a little out of character. And then he brought up his own, Dwayne's 2006 NBA Finals performance. In six games, he shot 139 shots, 34.7.8 or whatever, 47% basically. And so he asks LeBron, you know, who had the better, you know, who has the better game so far? And LeBron, of course, says, oh, you buddy, you know, you were down 0-2, down 13 in the third, and game three, you came back, blah, blah, blah. So, it just showed kind of how close the two of them are. And, you know, for me, I like seeing that, and it was pretty cool. And actually, Dwayne Wade is being in the building has been LeBron James' lucky charm, but he's not going to be in games four and five. He's not going to be covering games four and five, but I don't know if he's going to still attend or not, but if he's not there, then it might be some glimmer of hope for Golden State.
Well, the last two games of the NBA Finals proved this. LeBron James cannot win without Dwayne Wade in the building.
You have been listening to Stephen Sports Blog with Stephen Irvin III, here only on MSL Radio.